The past 2 weeks have brought embarrassing news to the city council in Rhode Island's capital city. First, the council backtracked abruptly on a police community relations initiative that appeared at Dundee just days before. Then voters in Ward 3 recalled Kevin Jackson, the longest-serving council member, in a special election so lopsided he couldn't even get 10% of the vote. The council meets in the ornate chambers in Providence's Beaux-Arts City Hall, but they don't do much of anything meaningful to tackle the serious issues facing our historic but financially struggling largest city. They seem best at showing up for neighborhood meet-and-greets and handing each other congratulations. And there is the whiff of corruption that spews from a building that has witnessed far too much bad behavior in recent times. Jackson was ousted from office because he refused to step down after his indictment on charges of stealing from a youth sports organization he founded and converting $12,000 from his campaign fund to personal use. The charges are pending. City Council President Luis Aponte, a serial campaign finance scofflaw, is now subject of a state police investigation. He accumulated nearly $50,000 in fines by failing for years to file the campaign spending reports required of elected officials. The council has 15 members who too often act like parish priests, caring more about their neighborhoods than the larger issues facing the city. Exhibit A, the inability to approve a $40 million program to repair city streets and sidewalks, even though the voters backed the spending by more than 80% of the vote. Now, despite months of hearings and deliberations, the council's pulled back from an ordinance designed to smooth police-community relations. The council gave the so-called Community Safety Act preliminary approval, then put it on hold after complaints from the police union and the city's well-regarded police chief, Colonel Hugh Clements. However you stand on this prickly issue, you have to ask, why did it come to this? Why didn't the council engage in serious negotiations with Clements and union representatives before giving preliminary approval? Seems like another failure of leadership. Community activists have complained about, among other elements, racial profiling by cops. That seems a reasonable concern given that racial profiling has long been a stain on law enforcement in Providence and across the nation. But some provisions of the proposal seem like foolish overreach, such as putting community members between labor and management in contract negotiations, which appear to violate state labor law. Mayor Jorge Elorza had committed to signing the community safety ordinance, had it reached his desk, so it appears that he too was in the dark about the council's intent. There are larger challenges facing Providence that the council never tackles. Foremost is the city's employee pension liability, a ticking time bomb that threatens city finances, not to mention the costly health care benefits for retired city employees. The council seemed out of the loop on a plan to allow the city to harvest some money by reorganizing the Providence Water Supply Board, which runs the Scituate Reservoir and supplies 60% of the state with some of the nation's best drinking water. A proposal sent to the State House was immediately declared dead by House Speaker Nick Mattiello. Why didn't the council talk to Providence reps and senators before this was sent to Smith Hill? Maybe it's time to go back to the future. There was a time in the 1980s, after Buddy Cianci was forced from office the first time, when the council actually thought about the entire city. Joe Paolino was mayor, and council members included Council President Nick Easton, and members Carolyn Brazel, Dave Dillon, Tom O'Connor, Tom Glavin, and Malcolm MacFarmer III. They worked together for the city's betterment. They represented diverse neighborhoods, but acted in concert. Or roll the reel back to Mayor Angel Taveras and then City Council President Mike Solomon. They hailed from vastly different neighborhoods and backgrounds and, of course, political legacies, but they worked together well to keep the city from tipping into receivership. It would be great if council members got the message of the Jackson recall. Voters are sick of politicians who skirt the law and show up only when they're running for re-election.